This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast today, to the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. It's a privilege to have you back here with us. We are talking and tackling the subject of leadership. Now, I know that may be a broad subject, but we believe that we have something to share as far as how to lead yourself well and how to lead others well. And today, I'm really excited about our talk, our subject, because we're talking about how to build teams. Teams are super important. If you're going to accomplish anything, you really do need a team. Can I get an amen, Gio?
Amen. You can't do it all alone. That's for sure.
Exactly. I could not do this podcast alone if it wasn't for Gio. I said, Gio, you are the team. But nonetheless, I've titled today's talk or conversation, Leadership Multiplication. Because you don't just find great leaders, you develop great leaders. Mm. If you and I stay waiting for incredible leaders to show up to our lives, our churches, our teams, I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm not saying that God isn't that big and great that he can do it. But I wonder if we shifted our focus from finding to developing. Somebody one time said that they were praying for, there was a pastor one time praying for, complaining to God, God, would you just send me better people? Would you just send me more people and better people? And that one time, God responded back to him and said, well, if I sent you better people, they would need a better pastor. Mm. And so he's like, just focus on who's in front of you right now and develop those.
Water your grass.
Exactly. And so we're gonna talk about leadership multiplication. This is for anybody who feels like, hey, I don't have enough people on my team. If you have an overwhelming number of volunteers on your team, then this podcast or this episode at least probably isn't for you. But if you're like me, and says, hey, you know what, I could definitely use the help, the assistance of more, and I want to add value to more people, then this talk is for you, absolutely. I'm reminded of this quote by John C. Maxwell. It says the following: good leadership isn't about advancing yourself, but advancing your team. Gio, what do you think about when you hear this quote? Why is teams so important? What comes to mind when you hear this?
Well, first off, not to give the stock answer, but I think of Jesus, right? Jesus had 12 disciples.
Yeah.
And he had many disciples actually, but he had 12 main disciples.
Yeah.
So couldn't do it all alone.
Absolutely. I think what's really cool, and I think that's a perfect segue into our talk today, because we're going to be learning straight from the greatest leader ever, Jesus, on how to build teams. Like you talked about, he developed a team. And here's the fact that he really didn't have to, right? Like he's God, for crying out loud. Like he didn't really have to.
Right.
But the fact that he wanted to, the fact that who he chose, the fact that he said an example, he laid out a pattern for us to follow. I think that just speaks volumes. So today we're actually going to be jumping into scripture, Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verses 18, 19, and 20. And it says the following. All of our content is going to be coming from these three verses today. And it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Verse 20, at once they left their nets and followed him. And here is a picture of Jesus beginning to build his team. There's three points I want to give you today. If you're listening, if you're taking notes, three words that begin all with the letter I, hopefully so you can remember just a little bit better. The first thing we see Jesus do as he built his team was he identified them. He identified them. The Bible says that as he was walking, he saw two brothers. And I think there's something powerful about this, because one of the things that stands out to me from this verse is that Jesus was simply taking a walk. It was an ordinary day, where I wonder if we reserve building teams to certain days of the year, of the month, or certain times. And we miss out on a whole bunch of opportunities because we just simply see them as ordinary.
Oof.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, I wonder if we just saw that every opportunity, as we walk to and from church, as we walk from work, as we walk around the house, these are leadership team building opportunities. Another thing that stands out to me is that Jesus saw them where they were at. They were fishermen. In other words, Jesus was walking, but he walked into their direction. He didn't wait for them to come to him. And I think sometimes that's what we're waiting for, right? Well, you know, they know we have a need. Or they know if they know who I am, if they want to, right? That's Jesus didn't do that. Jesus went to them. Jesus took the initiative and he went to where they were at. Another thing that stands out to me is that Jesus went for the people that nobody wanted. The profession of fishermen was not towards the top of the, how would you say it? Like, it wasn't one of the top level professions of the time. That wasn't something that, you know, you aspired to, that you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe he catches fish. You know, like that wasn't something you bragged about.
Yeah.
But Jesus went for people who maybe others wouldn't. And I'm reminded of Pastor Tommy Barnett. He is the pastor who founded and launched the Dream Center in Los Angeles, California. And he's famous for being the one who said that if you go after the ones that nobody wants, he will give you the ones that everybody wants.
Oh, wow.
And the Dream Center is making a huge impact, not only in their community, but in so many places around the world. And I've had a chance to actually visit the Dream Center, and it's remarkable. They legit purchased like this huge tower. I think it used to be a former hospital or something like that. Mm. And every level of this facility, it ministers to a different type of people group, whether it's homeless, prostitutes, whether it's giving out food, giving out clothes, medical attention. And there's some incredible leaders here. And this quote came from people asking this pastor, man, where did you find these leaders? Like, how did you get these incredible leaders? And he's like, that's when he said the phrase, if you go after the ones nobody wants. These people, before they were quote unquote incredible leaders, they were the homeless people.
Wow.
They were the ones on the streets. They were the ones addicted to drugs. Yet he and others went after them, spent time, developed them. And now, you know, their church is flourishing and absolutely making an impact. It's important. It's important that we go after the people that maybe sometimes we wouldn't consider, but we can't judge too early. We can't make up in our minds, you know what, this person wouldn't work because of what you know we think of about them. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, that's a good point. I can relate to that. Because inside everybody there's beauty, right? There's love. They wanna do better, be better. And with me at least, in that same spirit, I've had some challenges with that, and sometimes it's like it's not that you need to change something or change a leader, but you just need to teach them and show them and develop them, and then once they get it, I didn't know that. No one ever taught me that, and then they start to flourish and be successful. So yeah,
that's so good. That actually reminds me of a quote, and it says the following: every block of stone has a statue inside it. And it is the task of the sculptor to discover it. And like you were talking about right now, like, hey, it's inside of everybody. Everybody wants it, right? And us as leaders, our job is to shape them, is to grow them, is to help them step into this thing we call leadership. There's a lot of definitions of leadership, but one that comes to mind, one of my favorites, is leadership is moving people or taking people to a place that they don't know exists or sometimes even want to go to. But when they get there, they tell you thank you. You know, and now we hear stories. Now we hear testimonies of people who say, you know what? If it wasn't for my leader, I wouldn't be here today. And that's leadership right there. It's like, hey, I see something in you and it's my job to help you get it out. I think one of the reasons, one of the things that actually stops us at times from helping identify people is we're too focused on working with our hands. And we're looking down at the task and we're not looking out at the people. And so my challenge to you today, for those of you listening, would be keep your hands free and keep your eyes open. As you walk around church, as you go about your day and look to see, hey, who's spending time? Who wants to always spend time with you? Who are the people who always show up at church early? Who are the people who always stay later? Who are the ones who always volunteer, right? Because there's something there that people want to be a part of. So that's identifying them. That's the first thing he did. The second thing he did was he invited them. Identify, then invite. Verse 19 says the following, come follow me. Now, you might be hearing that and you're like, well, that doesn't really sound like an invitation. Like, come follow me. Like, it's more of a command. But at the end of the day, they had free will. Like, they didn't technically have to, right? Like, I can call you, but it doesn't mean you have to come here. And so he invited them. And so I like to say it like this. He made a space for them and he was intentional. And I wonder if you and I as leaders, we're making space for others to step in. Or are we too closed in? Are we just okay with our circle? Are we okay with our current team? But are we making space for people at our table? I don't know if you remember, Gio, first days of schools, but for me, they were a little nerve-wracking, especially around lunchtime when it came time to be like, all right, where am I going to sit, right? Because like, where's my group? Who are my people? Who are my tribe? And having to decide, hey, this is where I'm going to sit. This is who I'm going to hang out with. But I wonder if we are making space for people. I like how this statement here is not a general statement, but it's a personal one. He's speaking to only two people, and he's saying, come follow me. And at least in my experience, what has helped us build teams have not really been the general announcements. Hey, if anyone wants to sign up, hey, go to this link, right? But oftentimes has been the one-on-one conversations. Has been, hey, I see this in you. Or, hey, have you ever considered doing this? And I know, Gio, you lead broadcast team and you can do an incredible job at it. And it's also one of our faster growing teams. And so can you speak a little bit into that one-on-one? How has that worked for you and what have you seen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've noticed that because I do meet with our team all together on a specific day every week. And it goes well, but there's different types of meetings because I've noticed that when I do the one-on-ones and I spend the time with them or grab lunch or coffee with them, it's a whole different level. You can ask questions that you might not have time for in a team setting, right? You can ask them about their personal life, how's everything going, get to know them, get to pour into them, encourage them, pray with them. Just even sometimes it doesn't even have to be, you know, task oriented or task related or specific to the ministry. It could just be their life. But once you connect with them and you get to connect and make that relationship with them, then it's easier to now work with them and serve together with them because they feel encouraged, that relationship's connected. And I think you can do that in a team setting as well, but one-on-one allows you to develop that one-on-one individual, you're present, you're giving them your attention, you're not distracted. That is an opportunity that you get with the one-on-one with the individual.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's all people are waiting for, an invitation. Mm-hmm. And we're over here on this end of leadership and we're like, man, we need help. And there's other people going to our church, maybe your church, if you're listening, and you're like, and people are thinking, man, they don't need help. And we're like, bro, if only you knew.
Everybody needs help.
Exactly. And so I'm sure your church, wherever church you go to, it needs help. Yes. And so start serving. But nonetheless, sometimes all people need is an invitation. And I know there's so many things we can do on our own, but that's not leadership. Leadership is about being a bridge. Leadership is about connecting. Leadership is about helping people move and grow and develop. And so I know you can move chairs alone, but who can you get to help with you? Mm. Like, who can you get to serve with you? I know you can edit video alone. I know you can develop a sermon alone, but I've shifted my mindset and my mentality to who can I share this with? Mm. When I read books, I oftentimes share my notes with somebody. My sermon, I copy other people in it. If I'm going to go out of town for a meeting or for a church event or whatever the case might be, or training, who can come along with me? Any notes I receive, let me put them on the websites, on my website, so I can add value to other people. And it's something that you got to see through. You gotta put those leadership lenses on, as far as who can you invite, who can you continue to pour into.
I find that that dynamic applies to home, to family, mm-hmm. right? Oftentimes, I've only been married for almost going on 5 years, and when I first got married, it was almost like I do my thing, she does her thing, and, like, you know, through therapy and through you know, connecting and you know, relationship building, you start to realize, oh, we're a team. We're doing things together.
Yeah.
And it's better, and it's funner, and it's a better experience when you include your spouse. So now I come in with that mentality, like, okay, how can I do this with her? Can I share this with her? Can
so good.
We learn together? Can we go on a trip together? Or, you know, it doesn't have to be everything, but there was a lot of times where I was closed off. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do this myself. But now it's like, yeah, let's help each other. Let's experience this together. And if you can do that at home, then, you know, that'll obviously transfer and show in the team setting, you know, in the ministry.
That's so good. The third and final thing we'll share with you today, not only do you need to identify them, not only do you need to invite them, but thirdly, we'll see that Jesus inspired them. And that's the third I. The Bible says, and I will send you out to fish for people. Before, they used to fish for fish, but now they're fishing for people. And so, in other words, he gave them a purpose that was bigger than themselves. He said, I'm going to take your current talents and I'm going to show you how you can use them for the kingdom of God. Mm. I'm going to take what you think as insignificant and maybe common and, like, ordinary, but look at what I'm going to do through your life, through the talent that I've already placed inside your life. And there might be people listening right now who have, you've been asking God, you've been wondering, man, why did you give me these talents? Why did you give me these skills? It almost seems like it doesn't fit in your ministry context even, but we serve a God who can turn things around, and he can use certain things, and he can change people. And I want you to see that he inspired them. And I think this is only just a one-time thing in leadership. You got to continually inspire people. You yourself got to be inspired. And that's usually the best way to inspire other people. Mainly sharing your why. We're big here at church, you know, on communicating the why. We all know our mission statement. We say it often. We have it on our wall, you know, as soon as you walk into our church. When we do calendar planning meetings, we have that mission statement in mind, and everything we plan, it's got to be connected. It's got to come and stem from that. But knowing your why is super important. I think it was Michael Hyatt, or actually his wife, Gail Hyatt, who said, if you lose your why, you lose your way. And it's super important that we would keep the why in front of us. And that sometimes it could be a little bit of work, especially for us as leaders. We got to communicate the same why often and repeat it often, but think of creative ways to say it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Man, you're preaching to me right now. I'm receiving that, because you're saying that we need to be reminded, because we might know the why.
Yeah.
And sometimes I might forget the why.
Mm.
And, like, I don't know. I feel like we're forgetful people. I'm a forgetful person. And then once I come back to the why, I'm like, oh yeah, that's why. Like it's so easy to get distracted by the many things that we have to do and the responsibilities. But when we come back to the why, come back to the center, right? And,
yeah.
That's good that you're saying, to remind ourselves and remind each other, right?
I think another way to say inspire them is help people dream. Like, I want to be somebody who helps people dream, not only help them start it, but even like help them finish it. Like, I want to be somebody who, like, you know, somebody one time said, success is leaving people better than how you found them. Like, and I've set out to be a person that when you leave my circle, my presence, our conversation, I hope you're leaving inspired. You're leaving a little bit better. You're leaving like encouraged. Hopefully you're saying, man, I wish I could have lasted longer rather than, dude, he wouldn't stop talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, hopefully I've interacted with you in such a way where it's like, man, you're leaving inspired. I'm reminded of scripture where Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, Jesus' mom, goes and they visit each other. And the Bible says that when they came into close contact with each other, the baby inside her leaped, you know? And every time I've heard that and read that, and I'm reminded of that, it's like, I want to be somebody that when I get in proximity with somebody else's dream, that dream inside you leaps a little bit. It like, it says, you know what? I'm still alive. Like, hey, you know what? It is possible. But that's under inspiration. That's under helping people dream. And so the three steps are identify them, invite them, and inspire them. And I feel like if you and I can keep this in our minds, and as we go throughout our days and our Sundays and our Wednesdays, or whenever you have service in church, whenever you're around people, who can you identify? Here's where it gets really practical. Make a list. Who can you identify? What roles do you need? What people keep hanging out around you? What people keep hanging out at church that, you know what, they've caught your attention, they've caught your eye, that you can approach? And secondly, invite them. You know what? And give people an opportunity. Like, they're not signing up for the rest of their life, right? Like, be like, hey, have you considered? Let's try this out for a month. Mm-hmm. Let's try this out for 3 months. When I started out in my first ministry internship, I remember my mentor at that time, he said, hey, why don't you come and travel with us for 1 weekend? Just so you can kind of get the experience of what it's like traveling with our group, setting up equipment, ministering, and then coming back home. He's like, and if you like it, you can stay. It, you know, if not, then you're good to go. Like, there's no hurt feelings. Bro, all it took was one trip that I got hooked and I fell in love. And I'm like, yes, I'm doing this forever. And so, but it was an invitation. But there was also like a limit. Like, it wasn't for the rest of my life. And then lastly, inspiration. How are you inspiring that person? How well are you casting vision? How well are you painting a picture of the future? And even with your current team members, are you doing that well? Are you adding value? Are you helping them dream? Gio, any last thoughts on the subject?
Pastor Joe, you inspire me.
Thank you. Thank you. I will pay you later for saying that.
No, but this is great. And I love how you break it down to three, simple steps. But yeah, they all apply. And I feel like they all kind of complement each other too.
Yeah.
And so this is great stuff though. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you so much for listening today. This has been the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. We will catch you on the next time. Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.